They're fine retailers.
Live from Progressive.
Let's take another call.
Hey, Flo, ever wonder if you offer too many discounts?
Never. Homeowners, Safe Driver, Snapshot, Pay in Full. Right now, we offer more discounts than ever.
Doesn't that seem a bit excessive?
Wait, is this Bill and Tom from another insurance company?
Hang up.
Busted.
Getting you all the discounts you deserve. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates. Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Good morning, everybody.
Beatles.
Well, we could, because we're running down the tarmac, heading for takeoff on Valentine's Day. We've got a great Valentine's Day theme.
We're not really running down the tarmac. I mean, Valentine's Day really started Friday. I mean, most of the restaurants in the city kicked it off.
Okay. So make a liar out of me, right?
At the start of the show. You haven't done a thing.
All right. So we've got a great show. It's all about love and hearts, and it's a heartfelt show, and I have other puns for later on. But first, we've got Urbana's talented John Critchley with us. He's the executive chef there. And we're going to, along with other, it doesn't sound right to call them organ meats or anything, because we're going to have
Offal.
O-F-F-A-L, not awful. But we are going to be eating a heart Reuben.
Yes.
Yeah, which I'm ready for. It's going to be
good.
Great.
I've had some of your awful treats.
It doesn't work on the radio. It only works
work
in print.
Well. I know.
Yeah, your food is awful.
Variety meat is what they prefer.
But later in the show, we're going to be sipping port and tasting it with chocolate. We have in with us Jason Andelman of Artisan Confections. He's brought in a delicious array of his chocolate treats that we'll be tasting.
They're
and we're going to have Robert Bauer on the phone. Now, he's actually been in with us before. It was a long time ago. But we're going to be talking about the ports.
And we should say, Robert is an eighth generation member of the family that founded Fladgate, which is Portugal's preeminent, I guess, producer. They own a couple from
Portugal.
Yeah.
not a bad way to kick off the morning.
No. I wish we were there. I wish we were calling in from Portugal.
We also have Michael Scafidi. I want to make sure I say that right.
Perfectly.
Excellent. Thank you.
She almost said schizophrenic, Michael.
I get that a lot.
Plume Restaurant in the Jefferson Hotel. He's back again to join us. And today he's pouring the ports for us. So we're going to get a little tasting of port and a tasting of chocolate. We're going to do them together. It's going to be fun. And we've got fondue. It's already starting to cook up in studio. We have the melting pot in, and they are going to tell us all about
the
tasty treats that they put together. So you want to start talking port and chocolate now?
Yeah, why
not? Let's do it. All right.
Why don't we start with Jason? Jason, tell us about Artisan Confections.
Yeah, because you've never been. You're like one of the few who haven't been in here.
Yeah.
Right. Not after this show.
My kids are listening to this show.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we've been around for 6 years. I used to be a pastry chef, and then I started the shop about 6 years ago. We moved to a new shop in Clarendon 2 years ago. We're just sort of a small, mom-and-pop chocolate shop. We make everything in-house and sell mainly retail out of our store.
But how did you get into making chocolate specific? I mean, it's a very...
Well, you went
niche
to the CIA
market.
To be a pastry chef, right?
Right, I went to be a pastry chef, and it was one of the things. We had like 3 weeks of chocolate class when I was in school there, and I just really enjoyed it. It's sort of a methodical medium to work in, which I liked. It was a lot of fun for me to work with the medium of chocolate. And after I got out of school, at the time there wasn't any like chocolatier type jobs to get, so I went and worked in the restaurant business like most people do when they get out of culinary school. But then I started doing the chocolates on the side. I worked with a great chocolatier up in Chicago for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
His name was Jim Graham. He used to work at La Maison du Chocolat. He was like an old school guy. I don't think he's making chocolate anymore. But he taught me a lot, and a lot of it was just doing it on my own. And then we started making them at the house, and then, for friends and family, and then we started selling them. And then in 2005, we decided to
Well, you just came up with your own tagline, the mom and pop chocolate shop.
Right.
Works.
Although my wife doesn't work there.
It's okay.
The pop chocolate shop.
Right.
And Michael, tell us a little bit about port and how you got into drinking it and why you like it so much. I mean, it's not a top on everybody's list. It doesn't,
well,
right?
Here's the question. I mean, you're the sommelier at Plume. No, but I mean, is port a big seller at Plume?
Well, port, Madeira, wine is a big seller at Plume. So we sell quite a bit of wine from Portugal, period, actually. Believe it or not, we probably go through between 5 and 10 cases a week of just wines from Portugal, period.
And now, is Madeira a fortified wine, too?
Madeira, as well, is also a fortified wine.
Okay,
so,
okay.
And port, Madeira, were things that Thomas Jefferson loved quite a bit. And we try to focus on, you know, what Thomas Jefferson would drink if he was still alive.
What would Thomas Jefferson do? Is that sort of the umbrella?
Kind of, yeah, absolutely.
Should I sing that?
Bracelet, so.
What would Tom?
So anyway, you were saying just about how much port you're pouring,
and kind of also, you know, I went to Portugal in September, and
I know you're going to brag about that later, right?
Probably the port sales at Plume spiked quite a bit right after I came back from that trip. I
mean, just because you were so excited and
it's inspiring
about it.
Being in this region that's been around for well over 500 years. I mean, mm-hmm. It is the oldest demarcated wine region in the world.
Hmm.
And so it should be. And you're right, port is generally not on the top of everyone's mind. But, you know, like anything else in a restaurant, I think a good sommelier can steer someone in any direction that, you know, you'd like to push them towards.
Okay, well, why don't you start pushing us right now? Tell us about the first port you're going to be pouring, and then Jason, tell us about the chocolate that we're going to be pairing with it.
Well, I'm just going to start pouring it right here. So this is going to be our little aperitif. We're going to pair it with some chocolates. We're at the same time. We're just going to drink it. Think of it like your morning coffee of wine right here. So this right here,
okay.
This is
Fonseca's
white port. It's their Sirico white port. Very crisp. Leans more towards the dry side, still get those honeysuckle, peach, green apple, and a gorgeous kind of viscous velvet honey texture to it as well. So I'm going to pour it for everyone.
Okay,
just have
great.
A little sip.
We're
going to
taste with it after we swish it first and do all of our stuff before
our
we start
stuff.
Putting chocolate in our mouths.
Okay, we're going to pair this first with the Honey Thyme Caramel,
okay.
Which is the green piece on
this
your plate there. Yeah, what the green is this colored cocoa butter. So
okay.
We spray the mold with colored cocoa butter first to get that nice color. It doesn't add or take away any flavor. It's merely decorative cocoa butter. It's got a 56% dark chocolate shell on the outside. Mm-hmm. And in the center, we make an in-house caramel with sugar, some local honey, cream, and butter. Into the cream, before we make the caramel, we infuse some fresh organic thyme leaves in there to give it a little bit of a savory note.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a real you know, creaminess to it. The center, you'll see, is almost liquid.
All right, beautiful. All right, well, we're going to start biting into this.
All right, and then we're going to, while we're doing that, we've got John Critchley with us, and he's the executive chef at Urbana in the Kimpton Palomar down on P Street, and we've eaten there and stayed in the hotel many a time. I was hoping for another ice storm so we could retreat with our dogs there. But
because
you're doing.
Now we have new dogs to bring
I know we
there.
Have new dogs to stay there. But you're doing a kind of an interesting Valentine's Day theme thing called, oh, I've got it here, Hearts, Cheeks, and Tongues. And
you should have put other body parts on
and
there
other
as
body
well.
Parts. That's right.
I was keeping it PG.
Why don't you just call it the morgue?
Well, Jason's kids are listening, so, you know, we have to keep it really G-rated.
That's right. So. Why that?
Special menu in the restaurant, in the dining room. And we have such a vibrant wine bar. I wanted to kind of pair up smaller plates of variety meats. I think most people are calling them because offal sounds so bad.
So awful.
Variety meat is
I
a
like variety
term.
Meats. That's an alternative way of describing them.
They're mostly mussels, being the heart is one mussel. We make it as a Reuben. With Russian dressing.
Here it goes.
Malted barley and pickled.
It's gorgeous.
And cornichons. And then shaved calf's heart that
Whose
we cook
heart?
Almost
calf?
Like a pastrami.
Calf. Well, so what got you interested in cooking this way? And do you think a lot of the chef community embraces cooking with organ meats or variety meats?
Sure. For me, it's a challenge. I think for most chefs, it's a challenge.
A challenge to cook with them or a challenge to sell them?
To cook with them and make them taste great. So me, I grew up pretty picky eater or limited eater. So whenever I make something, I want to make it with familiar ingredients.
Okay.
So this being a Reuben, cooked kind of like pastrami. It's very lean, though. It doesn't have the fat.
No, I mean, it doesn't delicious. Look any different from any other kind of
right,
meat.
And disguise is part of it, too. You want to disguise it into it. And
well, you know, it makes sense because for how many years did they essentially throw away important parts of the, you know, or turn it into feed for other animals or dog food or something? This is delicious.
Well, right. I mean, if you're gonna rock that sort of sentiment, then you really have to live it, don't you think?
Right. It allows us to be more creative than, the traditional filet or steak.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really challenges me personally.
Right.
And I think a lot of chefs, you know, the steak, the filet, you know, as great as a cow is, the feed that the cow has, mm-hmm. that's the flavor you're gonna get. With variety meats, you can coerce more flavors into it.
Well, about to
and what
I
is
feel.
The nutritional well,
yeah, I was
level of these different meats? Like, is there any plus to eating hard or any plus to eating
I haven't looked, but
tongue?
I know because they're organs and other things, they do store up different minerals and mm-hmm. different levels of the irons and things that you need.
Okay.
But I'm not a nutritionist.
Right.
I'm just having fun
You're
in the kitchen.
You're just a cook. But so I'll be honest with you. Like, I don't mind eating hard. I like it. I think it's tasty. I don't know if I would order it, but I would definitely eat it when it's put in front of my face.
Wait a minute. I just ate heart and cheek.
I love cheek.
Cheek is awesome.
Yes.
Cheek is good.
Cheek is one of the, that is our lamb tongue with our pickled limes.
That's the one I have problems
Brussels
with.
Sprouts.
I have problems with tongue.
What are we hearing?
There's just.
Kevin. Nice.
Very cute.
So this...
Andy's never going to come back from Switzerland.
Right.
So our lamb tongue here, we braise slowly and then we chiffonade it or julienne it. So it's almost like ham,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a lamby kind of ham garnish to our pickled lime.
Right.
It gives a sweetness that a lamb has.
Mm-hmm.
It's another way of disguising it into
But do you consider cheek like on the same level as tongue or heart? I mean, do you think people put them all together? Because cheek doesn't sound that
No,
that
but
bad
cheek,
to me.
Cheek is like a braised meat, almost like a short rib. But just like any braise, you want to use a muscle that's really well used. And
mm-hmm.
when a cow or a lamb, they're grazing animals, they're always chewing. So
right.
that muscle's been worked. A lot more flavor goes into it.
Do you find that people, is there resistance at all? Do they go, you know, do they tell the servers?
Yeah, what's
well,
the response?
Our bar is
it?
A lot of fun. So we have a lot of people
I was
that,
just there
that have
so Wednesday
fun
night.
With
it is
so
fun.
Cranked, they don't know what they're
and
eating.
These are all under $10.
David.
So people are buying a glass of wine and trying something new.
These are delicious.
Well, let me just say, having just been there on Wednesday night, what I thought was really fascinating about your menu is that you have this whole list of snacks,
mm-hmm.
which I think a lot of restaurants sort of miss on because I like to snack, you
right.
know, like at the bar and have a treat. And some of it, I was like, huh, I wonder how this is a snack, but the way you displayed it, and you brought these are like, they were addictive.
Right, the foie gras.
Oh,
the
yeah.
foie gras, they're
mm-hmm.
gorgeous. So you, but the way everything was plated in these little ramekins mm-hmm. made it really easy to sort of just hang out and pick and have a glass of wine and not feel like we were eating that much food
right.
prior
it's,
to going to
It's subtly getting you to spend more money.
Right.
Which is good. But I also think the way the
You're
restaurant...
giving away your secret, I hear.
The way the restaurant looks is that way. It's not a stuffy, formal place where you're
know,
sort of
fun.
Waiting for this, then that. It's a lot
right.
of fun.
All right, so how long is this menu on for?
This is running till Tuesday, and we're going to get some good feedback, hopefully, and
mm-hmm.
Continue to push
you got it from here.
All this...
Okay,
you know,
well,
going into the spring and summer menus.
All right, we have to take a quick break. But when we come back, we want to hear about like the whole menu and what you guys are really kicking out for Valentine's Day. And then you have another special dinner coming up soon? Yes?
A few, yes.
Okay, great. We'll talk about those too. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be drinking some more port. I smell chocolate on top of the real chocolate I'm eating. I think there's some chocolate I'm dipping into. What? We'll be back.
Did you leave me any?
No, I left you none.
Of course
we'll
not.
Be back in just a bit.
Life's sweetest reward. Let it flow.
Family style Italian restaurant is also here in DC, serving up huge platters of real good, no kidding, Italian food in 9 private dining rooms. It's like a trip to a big Italian family dinner with extra large portions of antipasti, pasta, seafood, and meat entrees served up on huge sharing platters, all reasonably priced. Carmine's is just the way it used to be at grandma's house, if your grandma was a real no kidding Italian. But get better at it. Call them at 202-737-7770.
My family struggled, and It was assumed that while I would go to college, I would have to pay for it myself.
Charlie wasn't sure how to get the money she needed for college. Then she found out about federal student aid and the FAFSA.
I don't think I quite realized what a huge deal actually graduating was. Federal student aid definitely made that happen.
Need help planning and paying for college? Find out more at college.gov.
My name is Charlie, and this is my story.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. Interested in boomboxes?
Yeah, I just got the iPhone 4S, and I want a docking system for when I'm at home.
Easy answer. The Insignia boombox with HD radio technology receives all the HD2, HD3 channels here in town and has iTunes tagging for your iPhone 4S.
Oh yeah, iTunes tagging is cool. Tag and buy songs you hear on HD radio stations.
Yep, and it's only $99.
Wow, $99 and works with iPhone 4S? Lead the way.
Learn about HD radio technology at HDradio.com. More radio, more value.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible.
March for Babies!
Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
We're in love.
Yes.
All of these songs express the deep and abiding love I have for Nikki, who, I don't know, maybe it's unrequited. I don't know. You love me.
Maybe.
Nah, you love me.
There are days I feel differently about it.
I'm pretty lovable. And I love me.
I know.
All right. So we're back with John Critchley, who's the executive chef at Urbana in the Palomar, the Kimpton Palomar downtown. And we're eating hearts, cheeks, and what else are we eating?
And tongues.
Yeah, and tongues.
And I had the tongue.
Lest we forget.
It was tasty.
It's disguised.
Just a hard one for me to... It's mental,
I
think.
We had duck tongue not long ago.
We did, and that was mental, too. I mean, I ate it, but I have to get past it in my head.
Yeah.
You know, and I think in the foodie community, you're supposed to, you know, be really open to just eating everything. And I just don't think that's a feather I wear. I just don't naturally eat everything.
You don't have to eat everything.
Right.
All right, tell us, you've got another dinner, Elba and Leon, which I think is a really cool pairing of concepts.
Our Valentine's Day menu on Tuesday in the restaurant, instead of giving choices on a standard menu, I usually pick two different cuisines that will be your option. So we have a Elba and Leon. So Lyon is a French region known for peasant cuisine and, you know, real rustic. So we have our foie gras sausage, like you just had, other house-made ones, braised short ribs. And then we go to Elba, which is an island in the Mediterranean. And
we steamed past there, do you remember?
Yes, we did.
Port of Boy.
And that's all seafood and based on, you know, the fisherman's style. So you have your seafood cacciatore and your blackened escalar. So that's what we have fun with the Valentine's.
Yeah, the great thing about being on the radio is that you can drool and no one
sees you. Right, and nobody sees you. No, they're both beautiful menus. And then you have this other menu, too. So you're doing three menus, basically?
Basically.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a lot to offer. All right.
It's fun. We also have the whole bar open with our heart, cheek, and tongue. And we also provide all of our menus anywhere you are in the restaurant.
All right, I'm going to let you do the formal plug. Where's the hotel online and off, and how do we get reservations?
All right, it's at Kimpton Hotels, the Hotel Palomar on 2121 P Street.
Mm-hmm.
It's Urbana Restaurant and Wine Bar at www.urbanadc.com.
Excellent.
And if you want an awesome getaway staycation...
Oh, it's a great place.
We've done it. You go down there, and you can bring your dog.
Bring your dogs.
You
bring your kids.
Kids.
We brought everybody last time.
They don't allow kids.
We
did.
No kids, but you can bring your dogs.
We had a blast there. We really did.
Well, it's
a
fun hotel.
That's an unsolicited testimonial.
This is not, you know, they don't just say that they're dog friendly.
God,
like
no.
When we walked in with our dogs, like everybody from the front desk was like, "Oh my God, your dogs are here!"
They're so excited to greet the dogs.
They
right?
are. It was
that's
really
before
nice.
They got to know them, but
really nice.
Before they ate the room.
That's
all right.
True.
Well, John, we'll see you down there.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Thanks for bringing everything.
All right,
in.
All right. So let's go back to Michael Scafidi and Jason Andelman.
Yes.
Robert Bauer.
No, he's not on the phone yet.
All right.
Okay. So while we're waiting for Robert, this was a delicious pairing. Tell us a little bit about the notes we were looking for compared to pairing the port with the chocolate.
I think the most important note that we were looking for in this white port, this is a dry white port.
Mm-hmm.
Crisp, honeysuckle, it's for a port, even though we're looking at something close to 19% alcohol, this is pretty light in body. Mm-hmm. So we want just a little bit of that peach and honeysuckle. Touch of spice, I think, complements the honey that you get in the first two chocolates that we're trying.
Okay. What's the other chocolate we're going to try, Jason?
The next one we're going to try is the pistachio honey. So this one, the center, is a white chocolate ganache. So it's white chocolate and cream. Mm-hmm. And then we add pistachio paste to it. So it's got this kind of nice light green interior. Mm-hmm. And then again, coated with the 56% dark chocolate on the outside.
Which one is that?
That's the green.
Swirly, sort of
swirly
paisley.
With the square one.
I think we should, even though Robert Bauer's not on the phone yet, I hope, we should talk about Fladgate a little because it's one of the oldest family-owned port houses in Portugal. And they have Taylor Fladgate, Finesca, and Croft, correct?
Correct,
and,
yeah.
When you went over to Portugal, is that, were those some of the ports that you got to taste and learn about?
I didn't go to Taylor when I was there, but I definitely drank quite a bit of Taylor while I was there as well. And I think I mentioned to you off the air that probably on a daily basis, we were trying between probably 60 to 90 different glasses of wine.
Then did you drive
day.
Anywhere, Michael?
you know, the best part about it is, well, I'm not the best driver in the world, so we actually had a driver take us everywhere. But even if you are a great driver, I don't think anyone should ever drive in Portugal. It's a fairly it's dangerous and high, steep terrain. Like, yeah.
That's no prisoners and, you know, that's no mercy and give none.
Well, and let me ask you, I mean, for people who don't know what fortified wine means, can you explain it?
Of course. So there's this great French term called moutage, and that simply means that you're starting, just you're making wine. It's a vin du naturel, so you're making wine. You're starting with about 5% alcohol, and then you're stopping the fermentation by adding a neutral spirit. In port, they add this neutral spirit that's about 77% pure or brandy. So they're taking this, and it's kind of like making a pasta sauce where you have a 1-to-4 ratio. So you got one parts of this high alcoholic neutral spirit, and the rest is the great must from these indigenous port grapes. And it produces this lovely, about 19 to 21% alcoholic fortified wine.
Okay.
So it's just blending this. If you take them and you blend them together at the same time where you take the wine and the high alcohol spirit, then you have like a vin de liqueur, or you have a liquor that essentially you're producing instead of a natural wine.
Okay.
So port is made in that way. There's a variety of wines all throughout the world that is made about this word, but port is really the leader of this fortified style.
Well, so let's talk about the first two, because the first one, you know, doesn't look like a port at all. I mean, it looks like a, you know, just a Pinot Grigio or some sort of very light white wine.
It's crisp, it's dry, but you see these grapes that you see all throughout the world. You see like Malvasia Blanco, you see Verdejo, where you see in Spain, which it's crisp and light and aromatic. They have these great grapes called like Rabagato and Gouveo.
They're just fun to say.
They're a lot of fun to say, yeah. They sound like Fraggle Rock characters.
Right, exactly.
Isn't Rabagato, that's Japanese for thank you.
Obrigato.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Obrigato.
Oh, yeah.
Close.
We're actually, the Portuguese taught the Japanese the word for thank you, so.
Did they?
Absolutely. So, Obrigato.
You mean the Japanese didn't know how to say thank you before that?
What an indictment of an entire people.
I think I walked
into it a little bit.
Well, I got a question for you because, you know, port is you know, it's sort of a niche drink. It's a thing to be enjoyed. It happens to be very enjoyable. But, I mean, I remember, you know, always thinking of port as something that Lionel Barrymore or, you know, do you know what I mean? It's a la-la-la kind of a...
It shouldn't be. I mean, you're
why
tasting
Why did it fall
this?
Out of the mainstream? Because it was a mainstream drink.
It definitely was. You know, I don't know why it fell out of the mainstream. I think, you know, there might not have been as much as a push as it should have been, you know, where I'm hoping now, and that there's a little bit of a resurgence, which is, you know, this return to the classics, returning to drinking what is classic and has been around for a long time.
You mean like with mixology or?
I think the same thing with mixology. I mean, there's a lot of great port drinks like a Port Manhattan or a Port Tonic that you could definitely enjoy with it as well. But it's just like mixology, where you're trying cocktails from the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, and 50s. You know, port is the true classic wine. I mean, 500 years of history is pretty amazing.
Right. And so when you were in Portugal, what were some of the things that they were trying to educate you on? With the, was it more about the making of port or the pairing of port? I mean, what were you supposed to walk away with on that trip?
You know, I've been on a lot of wine trips. This is probably the best wine trip because specifically, it's immediately after you arrive in the airport of Porto, you know, it's a lightning fast 2-hour drive to the Douro Valley, which is this gorgeous, high, steep, terraced wine region. So every day, 10 a.m., you immediately start trying about 15 different ports and dry wines. You're trying the food from the land where the winemakers have their family making you traditional Portuguese dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to three different port houses. You know, then you might be on a trip right on the Douro River and on a boat, you know, seeing these steep terraces. Back to drinking at night, more port.
How come we don't get to go on these trips? This sounds like a good trip.
I want to be a sommelier, too.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Did you bring Jason with you? Jason, I think you should get on these trips.
I was actually the only sommelier on the trip. There, I was with about 7 other journalists. So
right.
It was
we're journalists. No, Nikki is.
I'm the journalist.
But you learn so much more about, you know, history. You know, how families are connected to the land, you know, how there's, you know, generations and generations of winemaking. You have this old wine. Sometimes you're tasting wine that's well over 200 years old, and it's still great.
Hmm. How is that possible? I mean, what? How are they able to hold it? What's in it that allows it to maintain its taste?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, one thing, it's fortified, so there's a high sugar content, which mm-hmm. will make the wine last a long time. Like any great wine region in the world, if you have a wine that's aged for a long time from a great vintage, mm-hmm. It also will show its promise, show its elegance, you know. And these houses have a large supply of these well-aged port wines that are still in good shape.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, we hear the phone keep ringing. You don't want to seem like I'm not listening, but I think Robert's trying to call in. We're just having a problem with it. But if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. This is all very educational. So now let's talk with you a little bit, Jason. I mean, how did you get in? Was this just a lark that you're like, let's pour chocolate with ports? Or is this something that you really feel as a pastry chef works together really well?
No, I think it works together really well. We actually just did a wine and chocolate pairing at a friend's wine shop. And, you know, a lot of people want to pair the chocolates with dry red wines because that's what they want to eat. You know, that's what they want to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And we found that the sweetness of the chocolate, I mean, there is sweetness. I mean, these chocolates are bittersweet, but there is sweetness to them. They tend to go a lot better with the dessert wines, you know, the ports, the Moscatos.
Mm-hmm.
We tasted one with a Riesling that was really nice. So I think the chocolate, just because it has inherent sweetness with it, will go better with the sweet wines.
Well, plus, I mean, chocolate has changed so dramatically. I mean, especially in the United States, as far as what people's tastes are. Whereas I think maybe, you know, milk chocolate is not nearly as in favor as the way darker chocolates are today. I mean, do you find that in your shop?
Definitely. I mean, we noticed it a lot yesterday because obviously we were very busy yesterday because Valentine's Day coming up, and you know, a lot of people are coming in just asking for, you know, what's the darkest chocolate. You know, my wife only likes dark chocolates, so that's definitely the trend these days.
Mm-hmm.
However, I mean, the milk chocolate that we use in our chocolates is really great, and there's definitely a place for that as well. I mean, I think there's a place for everything, but definitely people steering more toward the darker stuff these days.
And do you think it has to do with the sort of reports of the health qualities of chocolate, or do you think it's people's palates?
I think it's the palate.
Okay.
I mean, there's, you know, I don't think people eat these kind of chocolates for the health benefits of
right.
them, you know. So definitely, I think just awareness of, you know, what's out there. And also, there's just a much wider range of dark chocolates now, and the bar has been completely raised over what it was 10 years ago.
Because of the quality that's available out there?
In the manufacturers that are producing higher quality chocolate, there's a demand now for it, and some of the manufacturers are producing, you know, they're just very methodical in where they're getting their beans from, how they're producing the chocolate, flavor profile, so they're going more toward a more, you know, flavorful direction than just pure sugar.
Well, do you think that's also an educated consumer that I mean, years ago there wasn't all these different kinds. I mean, when you go to Whole Foods now, I mean, there are all these just different kinds of chocolate bars to buy. It's massive. And I mean, trying to figure out what you're buying and where they're from and free trade. I mean, there's just so much out there.
There really is. And I'm going to buy my friend's shop, Cocova, which used to be called Biagio Fine Chocolate at 18th and T. And he's got a great selection of chocolate from all over the world. I mean, they carry our confections there as well, but if you want to really get a good range of stuff from around the world, hit up his shop because they're super knowledgeable there. They have a lot of a lot of stuff.
Do we have to take a break?
We do.
All right. Well, when we get back, I would love to talk about also how you decide which chocolates to use in, you know, your products, like how you source things and come up with the flavors that you use. And then we'll go to taste some more and have some more port as well. And then we're going to be dipping. We're going to be doing some fondue. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
Hey, man, what's up? Angie went to Walmart and got this cool Pioneer HD radio receiver, and now she's like, eh, I don't know.
Simple stuff. Check out the buyer's guide at HDradio.com.
Cool buyer's guide. Oh, here's the Pioneer DEH-44, under $120 at Walmart. Angie, hip and smart.
See, dude, HDradio.com has the answers you need, and Walmart has the Pioneer with built-in HD radio technology you want. Now all you need to do is learn how to talk to girls.
Learn about HD radio technology at HDradio.com. More radio, more value.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
All right. More appropriate.
Love and marriage. Aren't you glad you're in love and married to me? You're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, the uproariously happy and always satisfied Nikki Nellis. And you're on. We're on with Michael Scafidi and Jason Andelman from Artisan Confections, and we're talking port and we're talking chocolates. Where do you get your chocolates?
Well, the chocolate we use is from a company called Valruna, which is a French chocolate manufacturer. They're based about an hour south of Lyon. Just been very loyal to the brand over the years and been using the chocolate for the last 10 years now.
Great. Okay, well, we're going to cut you off. We got Robert back to sit down and put the headphones on so you can hear Robert.
Great. Okay. Robert, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi.
We had some problems getting you on the phone. How are you doing?
Welcome to Foodie and the Beast again. How are you?
Very well.
How's everyone in D.C.?
We're drinking port, so how could we complain?
That's the right way to start the morning or the afternoon.
You know, we realized all of a sudden that you were on this show about
3 years ago.
3 years ago,
yes, you came
absolutely.
In studio. You gave us a nice education on port. I mean, actually, you really, I think, changed both of our views on port. It's something that we both
and
now order.
And now we have port in the house, and we order port. So you know what? The one thing that we haven't really covered here yet is about Fladgate itself. Why don't you give us a little bit of background and history there?
The Fladgate sort of partnership is the family holding company for Fonseca, Taylor Fladgate, and Croft.
Mm-hmm.
And they're three individual houses, but we wanted all the different teams to feel part of one family. So we created the Fladgate partnership as a holding body, but very much specializing in port wine only.
And what are the differences between the three ports?
Stylistically, it's really on the taste buds. It's really where in Taylor Fladgate, we're very much going for a very austere, sort of fresh red berry fruit flavors. Fonseca's very different flavor profile, more the black currants and blackberries, very round and very large in the mid palate. And with Croft, we're going for a riper fruit style, more strawberry, raspberry sort of jam, nice fine tannins on the top of the palate, and quite exotic fruit flavors coming across in our vintage ports.
Mm-hmm. And so, Michael, of the ports that you poured today, what did you just pour now?
So we poured the 20-year Tawny,
okay,
which is from Taylor.
And
I think one of the finest tawnies that I've tried in a long time.
Okay, and Jason, what kind of chocolate are we going to try with this tawny?
Oh, we have a whole bunch of stuff we can try with the tawny.
Okay.
I think we'll start out with the coffee hazelnut.
Okay.
Because I think those roasted nuts and the coffee will go well with the tawny.
And which one is that?
That's the one with the white stripes on it.
The white stripes.
So this is sort of a two-layer chocolate that we'd use. Oh. The bottom layer is a hazelnut praline.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got hazelnut paste, cocoa butter, milk chocolate, a little bit of crushed roasted hazelnuts.
Mm.
And the top layer is a milk chocolate ganache that we infuse with coffee.
That's great.
It's
That's
delicious.
Like dessert.
It is.
That's wonderful.
Well, it's chocolate.
And
people do eat it for dessert.
And it's a perfect match with the tawny port because it's kind of like the tawny port gives you that like liquid toffee flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And then you eat the coffee and the hazelnut, and I think it's just a match made in heaven.
Well, whoa. Robert, we were talking about earlier in the show with Michael sort of the history of port and sort of how it, you know, was very popular for a while, and then it sort of the pendulum swings and now it's really back in. I mean, what is your take on all that, given that this has been in your family for generations?
Well, I think sort of the attention to port wine has changed. However, the consumption has only increased. We've seen port wine consumption in the U.S. grow in the last 20 years. We haven't seen a decline, especially in the aged tawnies, which is what you're drinking now.
Mm-hmm.
The popularity of this category just keeps getting stronger and stronger. And that very much is helping Sir Taylor Fladgate because, you know, back in my father's generation, they laid down a lot of wine for aging. So we're able to supply the demand where, you know, it's quite hard for companies who have just realized the growth and popularity of port to produce fine blends that have complexity that go with desserts.
What is the preferred length of aging?
You really want to have sort of some super quality ports, the standard of vintage, aged 20 years in small barrels with a lot of oxygen contact. And if you use lower tier wines, they're going to fall apart after sort of, 8 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to put, some incredible quality wines away. And that's quite a big decision to take some of your lot of vintage away for your aged tawny stock. But I have to sort of thank, my father and his partner's generation for making that decision. So we have these wonderful 20-year-olds. Well, that's the wonderful thing about port wine. A lot of the things that you get to benefit are from the previous generation.
And so what are you doing for future generations?
Well, for future generation, I'm having to lay down more 20-year-old tawny stock, but also coming up with innovative ways of drinking port wine using Croft Pink.
Mm-hmm.
So we are very much the cherry fruit flavors. So if you had a sort of a cherry fruit bonbon, that would be perfect with a Croft Pink. But we have that in the summer on the rocks with some soda and lemon.
Hmm.
And so that's how we're revolutionizing the port wine and making the previous generation sort of, stand up again.
And, the coincidence is that when you were 20, I met you and I called you Tawny.
Yeah,
that's a whole other story. All right. Robert, I'm sorry we didn't connect with you earlier. Thank you so much for joining us. What time is it in Portugal?
Well, it's just coming up to 4:45.
Well, it's time for a little port.
Yeah, it's time.
Absolutely. Maybe some Sirocco tonic and mint.
Excellent.
Not
All
bad.
Right. Well,
thanks
thank
so
you.
Much.
Thanks for joining
well, thank
us.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
All righty. Take care.
All right. So, Michael, we're going to come back to you at the end. because I want to find out more about the port that you poured and the taste, and we want to talk more about Jason's chocolate. But now,
we're
time
gonna
to get into
Megan Fricker and
fondue.
Christy McDonald from the Melting Pot. So,
exactly.
Ladies,
hello.
Step up to the mic.
Hello.
Hi.
I think this is the new way to spend your Sunday morning.
It is. Oh, you guys are newbies. See, everybody else in studio here already knew how to spend their Sunday morning.
Glad we brought alcohol, too. Yeah.
Alcohol's good.
A little bit of wine and beer for you as well.
Excellent. All right. Well, so let's get, for those who don't know what the Melting Pot is, let's get a 411.
How could they not know?
Well, some people may not
know. All right.
We are a fondue restaurant. We offer four courses at the restaurant. We melt cheese down, so we serve big bowls of delicious cheese. You cook your own entree. We serve different plates of...
You cook your own entree in oil, right?
Mm-hmm. Oil and flavored broths as well.
Okay.
So you can go the healthy route.
Put your face in front of the mic.
The healthy route or the fun route.
Okay.
And then our grand finale is our chocolate fondue, which we have here today. We offer white chocolate, milk chocolate, and dark, and you can add liqueurs or peanut butter or marshmallow and lots of...
Well, so for people who haven't been in your restaurant, let's walk them through it. I mean, is every table just has a big pot? How does it work? Tell us how it works.
Yes, every table when you sit down has at least one burner on it. As you get into bigger groups of 5, 6, 10, we can do groups of 30. You'll have more pots the more people you have, basically. So you'll sit down, if say you're with a group of 4, you'll sit down, there'll be one pot on your table.
Mm-hmm.
Have to have a little diplomatic discussion because you do have to pick out one type of cheese to share, one type of cooking
style.
What
are the kinds of cheeses you offer?
We have a traditional Swiss cheese, so that's your sort of historically accurate cheese fondue with the Emmentaler and Gruyere and Kirschwasser.
Mm-hmm.
But then we've also got several different versions we've
created.
I can never say.
Kirschwasser.
I can't say it. I'm
That's
not even try.
German for
it's a cherry sort of
Lederhosen.
Brandy.
Right.
And we also have a cheddar cheese. We have a Fiesta cheese, which has salsa and jalapenos in it.
Yep.
We have a Wisconsin trio with Fontina and buttercase and a buttermilk blue cheese. We've also got a spinach and artichoke cheese fondue.
And what's dipped into these cheeses?
We have a variety of breads. There's rosemary, honey wheat, and French breads.
Mm-hmm.
We have broccoli, carrots, cauliflower, and then fresh Granny Smith apples that you can
dip. That sounds like fun. I
well,
went
you know,
a long time ago. I haven't been in a very
long
time.
Well, the thing is, you know, way back when I was in my 20s, fondue was the thing, and everybody was giving fondue pots for...
That was like 40 years ago, just so you know.
That was like 40 years ago, I said. But, you know, I'll be a widower soon, and... no, you'll
not
make it
I
home.
Not if I get there first.
But then it kind of dipped out of, you know, it was kind of like port. It dipped out of favor, and now it's back big. What do you attribute to the kind of resurgence of fondueing?
Well, what we found, I think, is a lot of people, even still this day, are getting fondue pots as that wedding gift. They break it out of the box one time, try it at home, and realize it's just either
it's
a disaster, it's a lot of work, or the cleanup is just a mess.
It's a pain in the tush.
Yeah, it's really kind of a labor-intensive process, so it's a lot more fun to just have somebody do the work for you. Come into the restaurant, we make it for you, we clean it up for you. You can just come and spend that time, you know, hanging out with your friends or your loved one and spend that time conversing as opposed to doing all the work yourself.
Okay, so let's move on to the second course. When you start with the broth or oil, how does that work? And is the oil a little scary? I mean, are you ever afraid people are going to burn themselves and start a problem?
Well, we try and educate them with our servers as much as possible. The server spends quite a bit of time at the table explaining the process. And, you know, we give them sort of the rules, if you will, of you know, how to do everything. We've got very long...
You have to sign a waiver?
Yeah.
Any waiver sign?
No signing waiver. We've got very long fondue forks with plastic tips, you know, so you can keep your hands away from the pot.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, you heat up the oil or the broth. And we have one that's probably our most popular that is actually broth with red wine. And so, you know, you just skewer your meats. Everything's already cut up into small portions for you. Let it rest in the pot for a couple minutes. You can have your conversation while it's cooking and then take out your pieces. And we have an assortment of sauces that you can then dip it in. We have a curry, gorgonzola, green goddess, teriyaki, ginger plum, all sorts of different sauces to complement the meats.
Okay, great. Well, we have to take a break. But when we get back, I think that pot that's over there should come over here so that we can all give a little
get
dip ourselves.
Get a taste of Valentine's Day
right,
from the melting
and give
pot.
It a shot. All right, this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. I think there's just a little bit more pour, and we're going to get dipping. We'll be back in just a sec.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte.
brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly one in three children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-Al-Anon.
Did you know that organ and tissue transplants save thousands of lives each year? This 2012, make the decision to save lives by becoming an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Registering is easy. Do it whenever obtaining or renewing your driver's license. Or register online at beadonor.org. That's beadonor.org. This is Hillary Howard. I registered to be a donor and have the heart on my driver's license to prove it. Join me and register today.
Back on Foodie and the Beast. We got a little mood music, yes?
All right.
I don't know, but anyways, that's okay. Well, it's live radio. All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast, but we have the folks from the Melting Pot in here. And before
all right, so
we,
tell us
Wait,
us what we're dipping into.
We have our feature chocolate. It's kind of a throwback to your childhood. It's our Wildberry Crunch. It's milk chocolate, peanut butter, and a wildberry puree. Kind of like a peanut butter and jelly chocolate style.
Oh, my God, it's so good. Okay, go ahead. Now you can do your thing.
You're killing me here.
Do your thing.
All right, I just want to quickly thank the sponsors that make this show possible.
Of course. Go
all right.
Ahead.
Our friends at Georgetown Bagelry, Neighborhood Restaurant Group, which is lots of restaurants, Rustico, Evening Star, Tallulah, Vermilion,
Church Key,
wonderful
Bertram Barley,
Buzz Bakery, Columbia Firehouse. Also, the two founding farmers restaurants, downtown on Pennsylvania Avenue and out in Potomac, Notte Bianchi Dish and Circle Bistro, Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jewelers, Bethesda Central Farm Market, and Carmine's, that fabulous family-style Italian restaurant down on 7th Street.
Well, and we should say we did a live remote out of Carmine's a couple of weeks ago, but mark your calendars because we're going to be doing another one with them
on
April 22nd.
22nd, correct.
Yeah, so you can buy tickets or win tickets
blast.
To it. And
nobody, I think there's still some people who haven't left there yet from that thing.
Yeah, that's very true.
All right, so ladies, back to you.
Okay, so is this the only kind of dessert fondues that you do? Tell us more about the kind of fondues you do.
We offer milk chocolate, dark chocolate, and white chocolate at the restaurant. So okay.
What's the biggest seller? I want to know what the biggest seller is.
Our biggest seller is probably our Flaming Turtle. So it's milk chocolate with caramel and pecans. We flambé at tableside.
Oh, neat.
Yes.
That's a big presentation,
yes.
I'm sure.
And we also offer s'mores, which is great for kids.
So now you brought in these chocolate-covered strawberries, which are massive. Tell us about that. I mean, is that part of your program? What do you do?
Yes, so we've actually just rolled this out. These are our signature chocolate-covered strawberries, and we actually offer these on a retail basis as well. Mm-hmm. So you can order them coming into the restaurant. We also offer them as an incentive if you join our club fondue. You get a free box of strawberries when you join.
Cute.
It's a great Valentine's Day gift. Mm-hmm. And basically, the strawberries are dipped in our white milk and dark chocolates and then streaked with chocolate stripes. We choose the biggest and the best strawberries that we get fresh delivered to our restaurant every day.
Uh-huh.
And they are a tasty treat for a midnight snack after your dinner or, you know, a great gift for a loved one as well.
Excellent. All right. Now, you also poured a beer and a glass of wine.
Yes.
Tell us why and what you poured.
Well, with our dinners, especially with the Big Night Out, which is our seasonal feature, we do a four-course beer pairing and a wine pairing. So it's great for both sides. If you're a beer lover, you can do your own. If we have, you know, two people at the table, one can do wine, one can do beer.
Mm-hmm.
And you get four different beers or wines throughout the meal.
So is your beer program recent, or is this something, I mean...
We've been expanding it more and more recently, I think.
I mean, it's popular in this area.
Yeah, with the growing popularity of craft beers, we've added more beer selections in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
We've always had a pretty big wine selection, but we've had a lot more demand for the beer, so we've added the beer pairing as well.
And what did you pour here?
Right here we have the Rogue Chocolate Stout, mm-hmm. which is basically, this is just double decadence, chocolate on top of chocolate.
Right.
So the Rogue has a
it's
really
all
low-cal, rich...
though.
Oh, of
right?
course, yes. It's like, fondue, special calories.
It's like European coffee, like that's how thick it is. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's just so meaty.
Rich and thick, just to go right on top of the chocolate.
Exactly, exactly. Now, what are you guys doing for Valentine's Day there? What's it? If there are specials, tell us what you guys are doing.
We are offering a special Valentine's Day menu on Tuesday, and we're actually running it today and tomorrow as well. It's a...
Because it's Valentine's week.
Week, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, of course. It is a four-course meal. We pull out, you know, our fan favorites. We have a lobster fontina cheese fondue, mm-hmm. A garlic and cheddar herb fondue. So just a lot of fun different things that we
Plus,
bring out
I think
for
it's
the menu.
Nice. I mean, it's a very interactive meal, so that really makes it... different for people. And I thought for like young people on a date, you know, what a nice way to sort of break the ice without
playing with
to
your food
and... for a conversation. Or maybe for older people who've been married too long, you know, give them something.
Why are you
to
looking
do.
At me, baby?
At the table. Instead of looking at each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, but can you bring the dogs? No.
Throw hot chocolate on each other.
Where are you guys? Tell us where you are. How can we find you?
We have four locations. We are downtown at DuPont Circle. We are in Ballston over at Arlington. Mm-hmm. We just moved our Reston location, so it's beautiful, it's big, it's in Plaza America. Okay. And in Maryland, we're over in Shady Grove.
Oh, right. I know exactly where you are in Shady Grove. Terrific. Well, thank you both for coming in today and for
thank
making
you.
All this glorious fondue. It's beautiful. And is there a website you can give a holler to so people
yes.
can find you?
www.meltingpot.com.
Okay, great.
Clever.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank okay. you.
All right, Michael and Jason, we're going to go back to you. What are you pouring last?
So last, we tasted a tawny port, we tasted a white port, mm-hmm. and last we're tasting the Fonseca Late Bottle Vintage 2005 port.
Okay.
And this is going to be the richest, the ripest, the most blackberries, black cherries, almost drinks like a full-bodied alcoholic Zinfandel that is very balanced.
Okay, I mean, that's a very interesting way of describing it. But so now this is from 2005, so this kind of port does not need to age, like the 20-year?
No, this definitely. Now, the 20-year, so you have, essentially you have two specific styles, or the two most important styles you have for port. You have tawny ports. Mm-hmm. These are tawny ports that are aged primarily in wood
okay.
and do not need to be decanted. Mm-hmm. And you also have ruby ports. Ruby ports are bottle-aged port, meaning they will spend some time in wood, and then they are aged in the bottle. And what's late great about late bottle vintage port, it's a way of trying a vintage style port for an even better value. Because sometimes you try a great vintage port from 1980 or mm-hmm. you know 1994, it's gonna be quite pricey. But a late bottle vintage port, it's a way to experience that ruby style and vintage port quality.
Well,
okay,
ports,
so the difference between the two is how they're aged.
One tawny is wood.
Mm-hmm.
You have rubies are aged in bottle.
And it has nothing to do with the quality of wine or anything like that. It's not like you taste it initially and say, this would be better for ruby, this would be better for tawny.
Absolutely. And the beauty of tawny, I think you have these hazelnut, you have these toffee, kind of molasses flavors. Ruby, you have, think of it more like drinking a still, rich, red wine.
Okay.
That's going to be much more fruit forward, much more viscosity.
Okay. And Jason, what are we trying? I mean, we have all these chocolates here. What are we tasting with it?
I know. Well, we have two chocolates we can taste with it. I'd like to start with the yellow piece, the square one, which is a 70% bittersweet ganache. And people often come in the store and they're like, what's your favorite? And this is the kind of stuff I like. This is just a pure expression of the chocolate that we use. The chocolate used in that particular piece is called Guanaja. Mm-hmm. It's a 70% dark chocolate. It's a mix of Criollo and Trinitario beans from mm-hmm. South America. So it's got an earthiness to it, but it's also got a little bit of acidity, a little bit of fruit to it that I think would go well with the wine. I love that chocolate. It's sort of when I was in culinary school, this is like the first sort of fine chocolate that I tasted. Now I'm sure you probably remember the first great wine you tasted or the first great meal you had, and this is just what really kind of sparked my interest in fine chocolate was that particular chocolate. It came out in the mid 80s and it really sort of, you know, paved the way for fine chocolate.
Well, there's a pureness to it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know when you're tasting this.
Right.
You can
right.
taste all of it.
I'm
right.
going to have to jump in because the show's almost over.
Oh, no.
But, Jason, I want to make sure everybody knows how to find you.
Yeah, we're located at 1025 North Fillmore Street in the Clarendon section of Arlington.
Mm-hmm.
Our shop is open today until 4 o'clock. We're open tomorrow. We're normally closed on Mondays. We're open all day tomorrow for to get ready for Valentine's Day, and then of course on Tuesday.
And what about online?
www.artisanconfections.com.
And your products are available.
We sell at other places? To Cocoa Bob.